to do one other thing, and that is to stand and to say together the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles have taught us that these things essentially matter, and they've been put together in a creed. It's all good to go there, Steve. Let's stand together and we'll say together what Christians believe. Just one little point. When you say you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the word Catholic means the universal church. You're not deferring to Rome or the Pope today. You're just saying we belong to the one universal. Let's say it together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Incidentally, the Catholic Church believes those same things, so we're in fellowship with them and with all the other churches in the town because we believe those same few things. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, as we come to consider the matter of words and music today, we pray that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly, that we would reflect afresh on what it means to teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and what it means to, with gratitude in our hearts, sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs to God. So Lord, grant us in this thinking time, Lord, a will to respond to you as best we can in these matters. For we ask this in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. So just one verse for the text today is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart, sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs to God. Now, there's a couple of contexts I want to give us to those verses. One is that it's in the letter written to the Colossians, and so Paul had never been there, so he's writing and he's setting out some really important things, and we should do that. You know, most weeks we should set out these important things as part of our encouragement in faith. The first one is, I'm just going to pick a couple to remind you what the letter says. It says of Jesus that all things have been created through him and for him. So the all things includes music and worship, vocabulary, human vocabulary, words and so on, and music are part of the all things that have been created through Jesus Christ. He was there, this eternal Son was there in the beginning. And he hadn't become Jesus until, of course, that first Christmas when the little baby Jesus was born. Then the Christ, the eternal Son of God, became a human being. So that's that. The second little thing is this. For in him, that is in Jesus' cross, in his death and so on, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So this one who came had all the fullness of God in his life as a human being. And through him, God the Father was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. So the letter points us to Jesus' death as the central event in which we've been reconciled, and all things are brought into harmony through that cross. So this one who's created the world has come into it and has reconciled all things through the cross. So then the letter goes on to sort of point us to the way we're to think about this. And the immediate context is in chapter 3, where it says, since you've been raised with Christ. I don't know if you ever think about that very much, but it's the words have been, which means it's all of the believing community. You've all been gathered up and raised with Christ. Since that's the case, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so we're to set our minds, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So it's on that basis that we're to think. And the reason to spell that out is there are four big events of the church. If I could give four pillars that you would need just to have a steady Christian life, they would be these. The first one is the incarnation, or Christmas time, that God has come to us in Christ. The second one would be the events of Easter, where Jesus was this teacher, this healing man, this lovely good person. He was crucified, he was put to death for our trespasses, and raised on the Sunday morning for our justification. So that's the second pillar, is really the celebration of the events, Good Friday and on the Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So there's pillar number two, incarnation, atonement and resurrection together in one bundle. The third one would be the ascension. We don't speak much of the ascension really probably in the Christian church today, but they thought very much about where Jesus was. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father. His work of reconciliation is finished. It's done. And so that place of ascension is where this letter is telling us to seek the things that are above. So you're to fix your thoughts on the ascended Christ. There's a Sunday called Ascension Sunday. The actual day of the Ascension was about the way we count it, it sort of works out about the Wednesday, but when it comes along, Ascension Sunday is very important. And then some days altogether, it was 49 days following the 50th day, the day of Pentecost is the fourth one. So that day, the ascended Jesus, together with the Father, poured out the Holy Spirit. So you've got incarnation, Easter, to say it quickly, Pentecost, which is the last one, and the ascension. We're thinking today of the ascension. Pentecost was Spirit was poured out to bring you and me into the worship life of Jesus, to bond us together with Jesus. So his perfect worship, we are in him. That's why when we pray, we always say things like, in the name of Jesus Christ, because all of our worship is in Christ unto the Father. That's how it is. So there's the four pillars. And if we're thinking of that, then Colossians says to do two things. One is to put off all the cranky things in our old disposition of being in Adam, of being sinful. And he lists them, and I'm going to just summarise. Sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, anger, slander and lies. Kill that stuff off. You don't want that in your life. Put it to death. And put on the new nature, which, again, is listed here. Clothe yourselves as God's holy and beloved ones. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Then we're told to bear with one another, and if we've got a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So there's this action of the community, having forgiveness, working through them. Then he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. And he says that this love binds everything together. And here we get musical, in perfect harmony. When I hear those words, in perfect harmony, for some reason, I think of Paul McCartney's song, Ivory, we're together in perfect harmony. Yeah. Side by side on my piano keyboard, oh Lord, why don't we? You know, so, but Paul McCartney's obviously thought about perfect harmony. He managed to hit a few in his career. And so we're told that this love, the love of Christ, forgiving one another, relying on the cross, thinking about where we're headed, where we've come from, all of that is love. And then he adds to that, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And that rule, to add a little bit of colourful understanding, can mean umpire. So let the peace of Christ umpire in your hearts. The Lord blows the whistle, says, peace, peace, peace. And he umpires and he brings a fair judgment, and let that be the overriding thing to which you were called in the one body. He adds on that, be thankful. In Romans, Paul said, the problem with our worship was we stopped being thankful. When we started being thankful, that's the new thing. We're thankful for what God has done in Christ. And then it gets to our verse for the day. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So let the scriptures, the things Jesus said, let the whole witness of scripture and of Christ, let that dwell richly in you. So it abides there, it stays there, it's got a home there, that word's on your lips and in your hearts. And then there's a ministry that goes with that. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. So, again, that thankful element coming through, even in the singing, the hymns and the spiritual songs. If we want to divide them up just quickly, the Psalms, we've got 150 Psalms, but there are other Psalms. People have written personal Psalms. There's hymns. Even in the New Testament, you'll find one hymn that maybe is the quickest one to get for an example. In Philippians chapter 2, it's just got these words, but it looks like it's from a hymn. The scholars think it was an early hymn that says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. We sing, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. Well, that's it's an adaptation of a hymn that they sort of sang there. So they had psalms, they had hymns, and then there are spiritual songs. And people today are still writing new spiritual songs. You might remember Courtney Hooper sang for us at the start of the Christmas production a song by Lauren Daigle. Do you remember that beautiful singing? It was a spiritual song, you know. And may not necessarily have been a teaching hymn saying Christ's risen, died and took your sins away. It may not just be a simple one of praise, which mostly the Psalms vary. There's laments, but mostly praise. But it's a spiritual song. Instead of singing just about the everyday things that rock and roll or pop, or I haven't caught up with, you know, R&B. I don't even know what that stands for, but anyway, it's, you know, whichever songs that you sing, you can use whatever genre you like. There can even be a spiritual song in R&B. It doesn't matter the style, but the spiritual nature means that it's thinking about the ascended Christ. Somehow or another, you've got a song that's bearing witness to him. Spiritual, it's thinking of the Spirit in you, and this is the Spirit of Jesus come to you. So that's our context. So today I thought I would ask you to do some hard thinking while I maybe I'm going to... You know when you have a thing called a sacred cow and you... Well, if you're in India, you might have a sacred cow and then someone comes along and destroys your sacred cow. I'm just going to feed the sacred cows today or draw attention to them. But you may find a couple of things I say troubling. Don't let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I'm only a human being, you know, just saying a few things here. But worship is something that touches at the very core of who we are. And so is music touches our emotions, and turns of phrase and the times we've heard them things are very deeply held. So much so that people already say things like, I'm going to have that song at my funeral, because it so much speaks of how I understand life and what I'd like to say to people, you know, on that day that come and remember my life. I'd like to say these things. So, but there are other things about music that part of our reason we're having a music workshop is to help to build up the Christian community, strengthen things that are good. And maybe, you know, there'll be a few elements and we'll say maybe we should, you know, fix that up because it may not be serving us the best way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul asks a really interesting question. He says, what should be done then, my friends? This is when you come together. What should you do? Do you know what he said the answer to that was? What things you should do when you come together? Yeah? Well, the first one is that. He said, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And he'd just been speaking about this unusual matter of people speaking in tongues. But he said, if someone comes and speaks in a tongue, you have to have an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, what should you do? It says there, keep silent. If there's no one to interpret, it's better to speak to themselves and to God. And if someone brings a revelation or a message, two or three prophets should speak and do that, prophetic word, sort of a preached word. But let others weigh what is said. If a revelation's made to someone else sitting nearby, let the first person be silent, and so on. So he wants it to be done reasonably orderly, because he said God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Do you remember back in the 90s when we had a lot of the charismatic movement and people used to fall over? Did you have any of that here? No. Kept that out? Shut the door? Well, some Christian meetings, visiting preachers came along and they had, you know, a little bit of... people did what was affectionately called carpet time. And look, for some people for whom that happened, I can remember talking to someone, they said, well, I don't know what happened, but I lay there for an hour and all of my anxieties and everything drained away, and somehow or another I got up and I knew Jesus loved me maybe more than ever before. So it was kind of, there were some good things. Others maybe fell and donged their head and it wasn't so good. But look, it was, you know, it's not that prescribed, but it was a phenomenon that took place in the Christian church. And by and large, it's not a big thing today, but still, you still get a little bit. Some of it goes through Africa now and then. Anyway, that's not my... I'm off point. Stop it. Now, what I wanted to talk about today was the way in which our words and music combine. Because you come together, there's a message, and you have songs. The priority is always that the word comes through. And so you should always have the word. The music serves the word so that you're, you know, even singing praise to the Lord. Those four words are sung. The music's there to help you to say that, you know, to praise the Lord. The thing that happened a number of years ago, and Barry Chant was the leader of the charismatic movement, he pointed out that one of the things that happened with songs, they used to be about 50% at one stage were focused on Christ's cross, his death and resurrection. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, you know, up from the grave, you know, so they were centred on those songs. But he said over time, Christian music moved so that I think it was 20%, and then it moved to 3% during the scripture in song days. Only 3% were focused on the cross, on the centrality of it. Whereas, you know, this letter, as I've pointed out, all comes out of the centrality of the cross. So Barry Chant, who loved sort of charismatic praise and worship, was teaching and speaking a word, you know, to his own people and to the rest of the church to say, you know, watch it, because we're drifting off of the main point of our worship. So can you hear what we're saying there? Yeah. And so then a corrective did come, and people started to write a little more along those lines. But some days, and we had two hymns which I picked out, two old well-known hymns in the early service, the 815. And I said, did you notice that neither of those hymns even mentioned Jesus' name? Oh, we didn't notice. And we sang, let us sing to the God of salvation. We sang that one? Not a mention. We then sang, praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. Not a mention of Jesus. So if all the songs, you know, were picked out in that regard, the next one I made sure we sang was at the name of Jesus, you know. Now, because we need to keep focusing on Jesus as the central part of our message and our songs. And it does take, sometimes you can, like I just sort of selected some songs out and then I thought, I wonder how many of these have got Jesus in them. There we are. And the last one didn't either, so we just had one out of the three. It doesn't have to be that way, but it can be. Who's got a song or two that they don't like that we sing in Christian, in church? Oh, the hands went up pretty swiftly there. Anyway, you override that sometimes by letting love bind everything together in perfect harmony and don't say anything. But it also says that we should teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. A number of years ago, one of the songs I think is the best, not the best, it's not the best, just a good one in recent years, is In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found. Do you know that, the hymn? Yeah. Well, the Presbyterians in America didn't want that hymn in their hymn book because it said that till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Now, being good Presbyterians, they should have had good theology and realised that, you know, Paul said in one of his letters, the Thessalonian letter, that Jesus has rescued us from the wrath which is coming. So, and it can be coming presently against all ungodliness, as Paul says, and so on. And one of the early atonement theories said that Jesus was our substitute, that the wrath of God came upon him, which is a true aspect. It's not the whole aspect of the cross, but it's a very true one. Anyway, I think they had a lot of liberal theologians at their assembly. Just hold that thought. And so that's what happened. And they didn't have that in their hymn book. Didn't want it anyway. Very controversial. There's other songs that are controversial for different reasons, not just the theology in them. Sometimes we don't know kind of what to do with a very emotional song like "Jesus, I Am So In Love With You" by Matt Redman. It can sound a little bit overly romantic, if you know what I mean. Can you follow that? I just collected a couple of these criticisms from... they're not mine, these ones here. These are from Christianity Today. So please don't attack me afterwards. Songs that cause confusion. "My hope is built on nothing less" has a word that says, "My anchor holds within the veil." Do you know what that means? Sorry? Yeah, God's your anchor. But it holds within the veil. And it's almost a veiled line. I think it refers to the fact that the veil was torn apart and Christ has gone in and secured our redemption in the Holy of Holies. Do you know? So we're not kind of out just to be finicky or critical, but sometimes you get phrases that you go, I don't know what that meant. Sometimes it's good to find out what it meant. It might be a wonderful, you know, wonderful insight into the Christian faith and something that's really important for you to know. Another one, action songs for adults. It's lovely when, you know, Greta dances for us. She can dance, but it's more difficult to get everybody else to dance. And, you know, even a song like Hungry by Joy Williams, "I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me." And you sort of think, now, should we do this? Or is it symbolically, etc., etc.? So people have difficulty. You've got the idea. I'm just pointing out, you know, there's a whole range of things that we can think about in song selection. And I'm just sort of saying this as a bit of a heads up to our afternoon. Oh, one other, maybe a favourite. The Townend song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." There's a little line in there, "The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen ones bring." Now, theologians have chewed over that line for a lot of time. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, I don't know if that really happened. But now, do you know what I do? I just sing it. I just sing it, go on to the next line. I didn't think it was worth making a fuss out of, you know? So some things you have to let go and just leave it be. Because there is a sense in which he abandoned him up. And he abandoned him up to bear our sins. And Jesus went out into that forsaken place. So I think that's what he was trying to say. He did. He was undoubtedly. Yeah. Yeah. So there we are. So we, you know, it's good. The conversation's starting to move already. The front row are really going here anymore. Anyway, I knew it would be touching on an emotional subject. And one of the, perhaps the important things for us to take away from today is that... on the one hand, we should learn to love one another amidst all the music. And, you know, there's a time and a place. When I was at theological college, because the feminist movement was so strong in those days, still is in some aspects, but every word that had said something like, you know, or even the creed, God died for us men and our salvation, people said, well, that's, you know, we need to fix that up. So we changed it to for us people and our salvation. That was really good. I think we made our language work a little better by and large. Years ago, everybody used to know what you meant by the term man, but now it kind of grates. Have you noticed that little change? Or you're still back there anyway? Doesn't matter. Anyway, but whatever, that caused some of the songwriters and some of our selection of songs in theological college so that scarcely could I hear a song to the Father. People thought, well, because we're getting rid of that, we need to fix the Trinity up. So for a while it was Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer. But that's not the Trinity. The Trinity is the Father and Son mutually indwelling one another. And Jesus came to reveal to the whole human race a knowledge of God as our Father. We sing, O come to the Father through Jesus the Son. And the Spirit again is given to us to bring us in and understand that, not through a feminist critique, but through a Trinitarian revelation of who God is. So that's kind of the thing we had to deal with there. But I noticed as soon as I got out into the churches in the country, they weren't as worried about it. What's that to say? They're either behind the times or maybe they're corrective action, do you know, in the life of the church. One or the other. So? You're chilled. Thank you. The third row back is very good. They're a cheery group. Yeah. I've sort of opened up a few things here, and, you know, it's an emotional topic, and I didn't sort of expect to do it justice, but just to raise some things and ask you to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Be thoughtful about, you know, song selection, and even critique. Be careful about that. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, keep singing these songs to God. I did have a guy once came to church. He was a regular member in our congregation at Peterborough. And when I picked out, because I said we were going to have a meeting, I picked out four really short songs one day. He said, oh, thank heavens for that. He said, I don't like singing. He was a musician. And he said, I don't like singing. I thought, oh, I never even thought of that. Other times people come in this whole little list, someone said, someone came in and you were singing, these are the days of Elijah, what would they think? Who's Elijah? But if the song leader said, Elijah predicted the days of Christ Jesus coming would be a day of crisis when people would be turning to the Lord or not turning to the Lord. And, you know, these are those days that we're now in that Elijah said would happen. You'd go, oh, yeah, it's an important moment. We didn't know we were living in special days, etc. So you can tweak and help the songs along. All I can say from here is may the Lord add his blessing to the word today and keep singing new songs as well as looking for those that express our faith. That's why I said we'll say the creed, because you can go to a worship service and have no music but just words. On New Year's Day a couple of years ago, I went with a friend and she went to the Catholic Church and they didn't have an organist or a pianist, so they just spoke their service. Can you imagine that? We're getting so light on people to put our words up on the overhead at the moment. We might just have a musical service soon without any words. The danger is there. If you think you can help us, and this hasn't been a build-up, a spiel just to get that one point done, but it is a glaring problem that Jan and Lisa and everyone who gets the rosters ready, we feel it all the time. We do need someone to go, hey, you know what? I reckon I could learn that. I could only do it maybe once every other month, but I could probably learn to do that. If that's you, please let that be your response today. And if it's not, please help us think of someone who would be just ideal for that job. And they could maybe learn as well. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for the way in which the music touches our emotions and the word feeds our need to be anchored and to be solidly in Christ. We pray that as a congregation we might continue to be a blessing and mature and grow and Lord, see the worship life uplifted. And Lord, give grace and peace to one another where we fail in what we say or sing or do. So Lord, we thank you for this day and ask your ongoing blessing on it throughout the afternoon. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.